speaker.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
What
do I? I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tweets from OTAs.
Nah, forget the tweets. Let's go right to one of the sources, Bob Soucy, voice of the Patriots, joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. He was covering the OTAs today in Foxborough. Hi, Bob. Great to talk to you.
Hey, it is great to talk to you guys. And before we get to the Pats, I want to complete that thought. I think you were referencing the former Islanders so-called owner, John Spano.
Is that it?
He was fraudulent. Yeah, this is a guy that didn't have the money to buy the team, but somehow procured it on paper. There's a great, I think it's a, there's a 30 for 30.
It was like a catch me if you can type of situation on him, right? Like he bought it. With, it was like a big house of cards. He didn't actually have the money and he bought the team.
It's a fascinating, it's one of the best documentaries I've seen in sports.
Oh, man. All right. So that's definitely what it was then. So, Bob, let's talk Patriots. What were you allowed to see today? We know that there were some portions you were allowed to see and obviously other portions you were not. So what'd you see out there?
Yeah, we got in right at 11:30. The team had been on the field doing some run-throughs or walk-throughs, as it were. And for the most part, we saw small group drills. We did see some 7-on-7 on a far field toward the latter half of practice. And then as well at the end, there was some 7-on-7 work where you had offensive players, some of them wearing the vests defending, you know, other offensive players. So I wouldn't read too much into what we saw today from that standpoint. But there was enough to, I think, early on have some takeaways about a couple of different guys. And, you know, certainly the quarterbacks I know are foremost on everyone's mind.
That's the question.
And we could start right there. Yes sir.
How'd Cam look, Bob? Do you notice anything different with the stride, the shoulder slot, the release point? Do you see anything different that he changed?
Well, it's funny. As I was waiting to come on, I was sifting through. I took a lot of video, as good as it could be, I think, from where I was sitting with my iPhone, including some slow-mo video. Because when I initially saw him early on in practice, particularly, the first 5 to 15 minutes, when the quarterbacks are warming up and playing catch with one another, my first impression was he looks a little lighter, maybe a little slimmer, particularly in the lower half. Though again, it's been so long since we saw him, in shells, shorts, and a shell, going back to last training camp. But he looked a bit lighter to me. He looked a little more fluid with some of his movements. But then, as I was looking at some of the videos, though, you still see that front foot with that open stance release. Even on some throws that are more toward the middle, where that left foot is kind of striding to his left toward the sideline, and you saw some balls sail on him today, particularly on some out throws. And, again, not reading too much into it because it wasn't a huge sample size, but there were a couple of throws to the right side of the field where I think that was certainly evident.
That's where he struggles. That's the deep stuff to the right, that out, the bow route, all that stuff. Because you remember, it was Bird on the backside. That's the only time he threw the comeback. It was left side.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was a period of time where he didn't even attempt passes, or at least, fewer than a handful over a several-game stretch last year to the right side of the field. And in the case of Mac Jones, there were certain things that I think stood out. Number one, and this is maybe insignificant in the big picture, but I look at how he gets compact when he serves up a play fake. He holds out the ball and his front shoulder tucks a little bit. And we always talked in the booth. You always pointed it out with Brady, and I'm not going to go there with him. But just how good his play fake was, and I think with Jones, there is evidence that this is a guy that has, for his age, a pretty good attention to some of those nuances of play. And then his release looks good. I thought he threw some nice balls today. The receivers that were there today, and we saw Aguilar, Bourne, Jacoby Myers, N'Keal Harry among the receiver group. Of those guys, I thought Bourne, certainly seemed to have good route awareness, drew a lot of praise from the coaches, good route running from him. Aguilar got deep. He beat Juwan Williams down the right side on the ball from Brian Hoyer. So those were two guys that stood out from that standpoint. And the same thing, one more guy to add, is Hunter Henry looks And he looks like he knows what he's doing out there.
Good oh, you think?
Wow. A little different Ryan.
Does he? what you say, though, about Mac Jones is as people hear that, they're going to get excited about
Mac Jones. Well, it's the little things, the technique, the little intricacies that you watch his tape at Alabama, and when he's in the gun, he looks like Brady. I'm not comparing him to Brady. You can't do that yet.
No, but terms of he does the little things.
The look, yeah.
He's very particular about some of those details.
Yeah.
How did he look when he threw the football? Mac Jones, that is.
Yeah, I thought he looked good. Toward the end of the practice, you know, there weren't high-intensity reps or a lot of high-intensity throws. There were some checkdowns. But, again, I think that, you know, he throws an ice ball, as we expected. There was one ball in particular that was down the middle of the field, and the receiver caught it in stride. I think it was Kendrick Bourne. That was one that really impressed me. And, again, not to compare just those two, but really looking at all four quarterbacks, I thought Mac Jones threw it as well as anybody today, if not better, than the others, again, in a limited sample size.
So he looks like a first-rounder, is what you're saying.
So there's a difference between the first-round rookie and a fourth-round, third-year quarterback.
Wow.
Okay, that's oddly specific, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, and I look at, you know, I think back to what we were pinning our hopes on last year with that player that I referenced in Jarrett Stidham. But there's a difference to me just watching them today.
Wow.
So right out of the gate, Stidham, this is how I'm going to summarize this in
my own
mind.
So it's like the kid's going to play when he's ready.
Cam is the same. Stidham is the same.
And we need to see
Hoyer
is
still here.
Yep.
And Mac Jones looks good.
It's up to you, Mac, your timetable. Yeah. How much you can expedite this and get mentally ready, I think, is the deal here. So
yeah, you know, and you may hear this observation from other people. I'm usually cautious, you know, when it comes to taking away, you know, and certain things and leaping to conclusions just on a brief look at, you know, something like the stretch lines. And when I went into the practice area today, there were the three quarterbacks, Hoyer, Stidham, and Mac Jones on one part of the field, and Cam was on the other part of the field as well in the stretch line to my right. So one thing I looked at and thought that was interesting. And then later they did play catch together, and there seemed like there was good interaction between them. Looked like Josh spent an equal amount of time with the two quarterbacks, speaking of Newton and Jones, and it looked like, you know, they got about an equal sample size in terms of the quarterback rotation. Early on it was, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, each guy would step in and take a throw, and then a little bit later they gave Cam and Mac an opportunity themselves to run 7-on-7 on one side of the field while Hoyer and Stidham did some work at the other end.
Well, that sort of seems to indicate that it's Cam and then Mac, 1-2. Yeah. Maybe we're reading into that too much, but that's how I would take it if I were sitting there with you watching that. I'd say, oh, there it is. It's Cam and Mac.
Well, I'll take your word for it based on what I saw, at least trying to describe what I saw.
Okay.
That's good stuff.
It's always tough in these situations, Bob, to see anything or make any real defensive observations. But did anything stand out to you from the defense?
You know, it was hard to tell. Most of the defensive work was done in their small group drills on the other side of the field. One thing that stood out to me is who wasn't there. You know, notable. Now, there was a 54 there with long dreadlocks, it appeared, but I think that was Cam McGrone. So no Hightower, no Devin McCourty from what I could see. There were some players on the lower field that we didn't really get a good look at, so there may have been, you know, some of the veteran players that were down there.
How about Gilmore?
No sign of Gilmore. The main defensive backs that I saw with experience, Duggar and Jalen Mills playing safety. Duggar was playing a deeper safety at times. Jonathan Jones, Juwan Williams, those were the four guys among the veterans in the secondary that, you know, I recognized immediately. And as far as the other guys, I didn't see J.C. Jackson or Stephon Gilmore. But again, slim possibility one of them was, you know, somewhere else in the facility or down on one of the lower fields. The running backs, Damien Harris was out there, although he didn't do a whole lot, did a lot of watching. And J.J. Taylor was out there, and he got a lot of love today from the
coaches.
Love
that guy.
Got a lot of love from the coaches. And I know it's an easy analogy to make because of the size, but it reminded me of the first time we watched Deion Lewis in spring camp after he signed with the team, where, you know, he knew where to go in pass protection. He ran good routes near the goal line. And you heard Josh McDaniels and some of the other coaches, you know, that's it, JJ. Good job, buddy. Things of that nature.
Can't teach speed.
I like that kid. He's small, but he's good.
He's quick, you know, and again, we didn't see, you know, them running full speed a lot, but they did one drill early on where they had two lines, one on the far side of a sideline and the other on the opposite side of the sideline, and you know, one player would have to run at the other. They'd have to meet in the middle. And you saw some of that elusiveness with certain guys, and in particular, J.J. Taylor got quite a reaction from his teammates.
All right, last one for you, real quick. Like, the buzz down there as far as potentially opening things up. You know, training camp, as we move forward here, and you're going to have the mandatory mini camp coming up, but do you anticipate, like, more press going to be in, you know, allowed in, maybe more personal access as opposed to the Zooms?
Yeah, so I think people are optimistic, certainly. And I think, you know, from a media standpoint, you know, there's a strong desire to get back to the ways of prior to the pandemic. But, I didn't hear anything today from anybody. I talked to a couple of the PR people, and I didn't go there, honestly, because I knew it was a question they couldn't answer,
right,
at least in that moment. But I think there's a sense of optimism based on what the league has decided now. Unfortunately, in the press conference, I wanted to ask Bill Belichick about vaccinations. That topic wasn't broached today. We know some of the Patriot players have been front and center in trying to educate the public through video messages and so forth, Devin McCourty, Matthew Slater, about vaccinations. But one wonders how that process has gone, you know, within the building, within the team, because as we saw yesterday, the NFL is going to have different restrictions for guys who aren't vaccinated. And that could become a competitive advantage for some teams, just in terms of being more efficient in how they go about their daily work. If everybody can participate in in-person meetings, guys don't have to deal with the testing and all the things that they're going to have to go through, like last year, if they're not vaccinated, that could put some teams at a disadvantage. And I think some coaches have referenced that already this offseason, and at least one general manager, Brandon Bean, of the Bills, certainly was a little too open about it.
All right, Bob, appreciate the time. Thanks for checking in, and appreciate you being down there to see what was happening today.
All right, guys, I'll tweet out some video and some photos, and we'll do something for the website.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Nice. Make sure we check that out, 985thesportshub.com, and Bob Soucy, of course, on Twitter, at Bob Soucy, correct?
That's it, sir.
Easy enough.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Bob joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We'll go right back to that hotline with Chris Wagner of the Bruins next.